Thank you, the Bell Choir. First time back and Challenge in Peace. Beautifully done. Thank you for blessing us with that. Now, I really need your blood flowing. Just reach out a hand to someone next to you and just say, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead. Just say, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. In the front row. Glad you're here. Oh, glad you're here. All right. Yeah, I really need you fully engaged this morning. We are in this together. I really need you to be with me this morning. There's going to be several times in this sermon when you're going to have lines, and I'm depending upon you. If a projection comes up, you're going to go ahead and say that projection, but you're going to say it with feeling. You're going to act it out. We're in this together. You see, I'm going to preach. You're going to say your lines. God's going to meet us here, and at the end of the sermon, Carl's going to sing for us. So are you with me?
Yes.
All right. You know, sometimes in church, we talk about things that do not apply to you, or at least they do not apply to you yet. We talk about marriage sometimes, and you are not married, and you never intend to be married. Of course, you're only a preschooler. We talk sometimes about children, knowing that some of you have no intention of ever having children. We talk about parents sometimes, knowing that many of us no longer have parents who are living, and some of us never knew our parents in the first place. We talk about dying and of being with those who are dying, and you have no intention of dying, at least not anytime soon. We talk about money sometimes. Jesus talked about money a lot, but you can't remember the last time you had a spare $20 bill in your pocket. When these topics come up, I imagine you just go, okay, here we go. Just kind of settle into your seat and go, I hope the special music is good, or I hope they have cinnamon rolls in the coffee hour. Or did he really think that those pants and that shirt went together? Well, whatever. But this morning, our text is going to address all of us. It makes no difference how old or young you are. It makes no difference if you're working or retired. It makes no difference if you were born in the United States of America or in China. This morning, God has a word for us, for all of us. So what would this be? About birth, about death, about taxes? What topic could be so universal to the human experience as to address us all? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Would it be okay if I finished? Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the topic this morning, and indeed it is a topic that pertains to everyone. Every day we need forgiveness from our coworkers and our friends. Every day we need forgiveness from the people we love and live with. And if there happens to be a day in your life when you do not personally need forgiveness, well, then the odds are pretty good that there is someone in your life who would really benefit from hearing words of forgiveness from you. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter. Now, just previous to this, Jesus had just finished telling his followers how to deal with conflict in the community of faith. Now, Peter had been listening very carefully, but he was looking now for some practical application. There must be a point when grace gives way to the law. There needs to be some limits. Peter wanted to be sure that he understood where to draw the line. So Peter addresses Jesus. He says, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? Now, most rabbis in Jesus' day would have said three. You shall forgive three times. Three times is fair. It's more than fair. Three times would show that you are a patient person and a graceful person. Three times, that's enough. But Peter knew Jesus. He'd been hanging around Jesus for 3 years now. He had seen Jesus in action, and he was beginning to get this grace thing. So Peter decided that he would double down on grace. He would assume that he was to be extra generous, over the top. So it would be grace times two plus one for Peter. Jesus, how often should I forgive? Peter said, as many as seven times. The other disciples shook their heads. There goes Peter again. He is such a brown nose, such a show off. Jesus said, no, Peter, not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. Peter was getting a headache now. He was sorry that he even asked. Seven times 70, that's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. If you didn't bring your calculator, it's 490 times. Who could keep track of that? Think of the accounting, the record keeping it would demand, the reams of paper, and all the pencils that you would need. 490 times, that's once a week for 10 years. Are you kidding me, Jesus? Well, Jesus was just warming up. He said, let me tell you a story that will help you to understand what I mean. It will help you to understand God's way. There once was a king. Kings, as you know, are all powerful. Well, this king wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. The first slave that was brought before the throne owed the king 10,000 talents. You're not laughing. Did you hear what I said? Well, the disciples were laughing. They were belly laughing. They were slapping their knees. They said, that Jesus, he's got a great sense of humor. You see, 10,000 talents was a laughable amount of money. King Herod, who was the real king, the one who had all the big palaces all over the place, the real king had a total annual income of 900 talents. 10,000 talents, for the average worker, that would amount to roughly 150,000 years of labor. It would be the equivalent today of somewhere around $10 billion. You can buy a lot of camels. You can buy a lot of clay pots with money like that. It was a laughable amount. No slave could possibly get his hands on money like that. And no bank would approve that kind of a loan. And yet, here he was before the king, and he owed 10,000 talents. Well, he could not pay. Of course he could not pay. No one could possibly repay such a debt. And so the king, consistent with common practice, ordered that the man would be sold into slavery. Knowing that the sale would bring in some money, but it would hardly put a dent in the debt, he ordered, too, that the man's wife be sold and his children be sold also. And while you're at it, sell his car, sell his iPhone, sell everything until the payment has been made in full. What's a slave to do? The slave fell on his knees. Desperate times call for desperate measures. There is no pride when you're in a pickle like this. I'll repay you everything I owe. Remember now, the balance on his Visa bill was $10 billion. To think that he could repay was absurd. Now, except for the muffled laughter, the throne room was totally silent. Then the unexpected happened. The king took pity on him. The king released the slave and forgave him his debt. It was shocking. But not as shocking as what happened next. The slave left the courtroom with a bounce in his step. It was as if the weight of the world had been lifted off his shoulders. He had just won the lottery. And as he was bounding down the stairs of the palace out towards the street below, the slave noticed something. Something caught his eye. a fellow slave, and this bum owed him 100 denarii. Now the disciples laughed again. It was the master storyteller, Jesus, and he continued. Oh, if you're wondering, 100 denarii would be about $17 to $20, depending on the exchange rate. The forgiven slave saw this man. He seized him by the throat, and he demanded to be paid. Pay me what you owe me now. You're a slacker, and if you don't pay me, you're going to prison. The terrified man fell on his knees, trembling, and begged. Now, this request was reasonable. No, it was beyond reasonable. We're talking about 20 bucks here. But the forgiven slave would not hear of it. He was not in a mood to show mercy, and so he had the man thrown into prison, and there he would remain until he repaid all of his debt. Well, when the king heard about this, he was outraged, and so was everyone else. The king summoned back the slave, back into the throne room, and this time he let him have it. He said, "You bum, you miserable, ungrateful bum, I forgave you the national debt, and you could not show mercy over a lousy 20 bucks. I had mercy on you. Could not you, in return, have found it in your heart to forgive this man?" There was no response. What response could there be? The king demanded that this man be taken from his sight. Get him out of my throne room. Take him to the darkest dungeon of the prison and torture him. Torture him until he has repaid his entire debt. And I'm guessing that if he worked for all of eternity, that he would never even make the minimum payment on that visa bill. But Jesus looked out now at the horrified faces of his followers. Peter was there, Peter who had asked how often they were expected to forgive the bums in their lives. Jesus closed his lecture by saying this. He said, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you do not forgive your sister or brother from your heart." Now, before we bring this story home, let's think about what could have been. Think of what a different story this would have been if the forgiven slave would have left that palace with the weight of the world off his shoulders, and upon meeting the other servant, the one that owed him money, instead of choking him and demanding payment, he would have simply put his arm around him and said, "Hey, my friend, about that 20 bucks you owe me? Well, forget about it. Take your family out to dinner. Or better yet, let's have a party together. It's on me. I'll pay for everything. Let's have a party so I can share my good fortune with everyone. For the king has forgiven me all of my debt." If the story had ended this way, no one would be in prison. No one would be tortured. There would be two happy servants, two happy wives, two happy families, and on the throne, a very happy king. But it was not to be. The forgiven slave never truly experienced his own forgiveness because he couldn't share it with others. The joy of forgiveness was lost in the trivial greed which consumed him. And the parable ended with two unhappy slaves and two unhappy wives and two unhappy families and one very unhappy king. Lord, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. No, Peter, we cannot keep score and experience abundant life. Keeping score of others' mistakes, keeping track of all the wrongs that people have done to us, it's a time-consuming, energy-draining, life-taking task. We simply don't have the time to count to seven much less 490. And if we find the time, if we find the energy to track others' offenses, to keep score, to hold on to grudges, then what do we have? We have a job for life. We are the jailkeeper. Holding others in bondage, we will not let them go until they have paid us back the debt that they owe us. But in fact, it's not that way at all. You see, there's no one in that cell. We're guarding an empty cell. If we cannot let go, if we cannot forgive, then we have sentenced ourselves to stand outside an empty cell. We have destined ourselves to live out our days in a prison of our own making, alone in a prison of bitterness and vengeance. Alone. That's right. You see, those who have betrayed us, they're not there. They don't care if they offended us, or they didn't know that they offended us, or they were simply never taught by their parents how to apologize or how to take responsibility for their own actions. If we're waiting for them to come groveling at our feet, then we are likely to waste our lives and eternity waiting for something that's never going to happen. If we cannot forgive, if we cannot let go, then we will live in the past while drinking daily the poison of bitterness. My friends, God has forgiven you. All your sins are forgiven. God has wiped that slate clean. Your $10 billion debt has been forgiven. Now, can you perhaps forget that 20 bucks that's owed to you by your first husband? Can you forget the 20 bucks that's owed to you by parents who were less than perfect, by a neighbor whose tree blocks your view, by an ungrateful child who never calls home unless they need another 20 bucks? How do you want to live the rest of your life? Choose your profession. You want to be a jailkeeper, a scorekeeper, a historian who carefully chronicles every offense, or would you rather work for the publishing clearinghouse, joyfully giving away big checks and new beginnings, spreading the king's grace and generosity to all? I'd like to end with three images that you might remember long after you've forgotten the sermon. The first up here, right here, this big book, that is a scorebook. You get one of those, and in it you can keep track of every offense, of every slight, of everyone who has ever hurt you. You can keep it next to your bed at night and check it. It will guarantee you a bitter night's sleep. And down in front and up top, down in front you got a bag of rocks. Bag of rocks, a few rocks up top too. Try this one. Just try this one. What you do is get rocks like this and put your enemy's name on there. Okay? Anyone who has slighted you. My boss in that bag down there, a boss I had when I was in high school, he treated me awful, but I've got him in that bag. Try it. Write their name on a rock if they've offended you, and then fill up the bag, and then what I want you to do is take that bag with you everywhere you go. Don't let them get away with it. Take them with you to dinner, to the park, and on the cruise. That'll show them, won't it? Carry that bag around, and it will guarantee you a bad back and a bad attitude. Or try this. How about this? You all have cell phones, most of you anyway. You have pictures on those cell phones, right? So pull them up. Well, this one makes me smile. My little grandson. That makes me smile, right? But you know what? You can have another section in your phone. Another section filled with the mugshots. The mugshots of bums who owe you money or owe you an apology. Don't let them go. Take them with you all the time. It's your choice. Choose your profession. Do you want to be a scorekeeper or a rock collector? Or a jailkeeper? Or do you want to follow Jesus? Stay right there, and Carl's going to sing.